With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 409, the box office report, and not the all-purpose cleanser.
Right.
I'm not Joe, did you have a song that you...
Giddy up, 409.
Oh, that last part kind of warbled off a little bit.
Well, give me some credit. Like, yeah.
I mean, you started solid.
You put him on the spot. Like, yeah. when we weren't recording,
it was fine.
He crushed it, man.
Like
he
was singing in the shower.
Yeah. He took off his pants and everything.
Yeah. I felt way more comfortable that way.
We don't ever wear clothes when we record these, right? That's the deal.
Yeah, we weren't sure how to break it to you.
These seats are cold.
Yeah. And the chairs are wood.
That's Oh.
You get splinters.
Yeah. Ow!
You get sphincter splinters.
Those are the worst.
Those are the worst. Yeah.
Dan's not here today.
Yeah, went off the rails quick. So in order to establish that Dan's not here, we should probably go around the room and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I am tired.
Yeah, you've had a... What time did you get up?
What are you doing?
My wife's grandparents, we shipped them off to Korea.
But they're not Korean. Just want to put
They're not Korean.
Sending them back to Korea where he went one time.
Yeah.
He fought for the liberation of Korea.
Yes.
Kevin.
He was a Korean War vet. We were over there one time and he was like, I'd really like to go back and see what it looks like now. And I'm like thinking a lot more pavement.
Yeah, right, you know? Right, right.
And so I did some research and there's a program that the Korean government does where they subsidize a good chunk of the cost if you're a Korean War vet.
Do they do that in Vietnam?
No.
Probably not.
They have a lot different opinion of the U.S. military
in
Vietnam.
But if you buy one hooker, you get one free.
Ooh.
That's the coupon you get.
That's nice. Yeah, they do love you a long time.
Ladyboys?
That's the catch.
Yeah.
So
is that the free one or is that the one you pay for? I guess it depends on what you're into.
Right. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
You get the opposite of what you
want. I
got
to tell you, I rewatched The Hangover like a month ago.
Yeah.
And that whole scene where she's explaining to Ed Helms what happened.
Yeah.
And she's just like, and then I, you know, you blew your load on the floor and I blew my load in you. And he's like, wait.
Yeah.
Let's back that up a second. What was that last part? And she was like, oh, yeah. And he was like,
I don't remember that.
Oh, my.
It's been a long time.
It's where they're like retracing their steps. Yeah. The second one?
No, because if it was funny.
That's true.
It wasn't the first
one. If you were enjoying yourself. Yeah,
that's true.
Still to this day, and I know you guys have told me it's different, but I have not seen the third one because the second one pissed me off so much.
The third one's a little darker.
They actually change it up. But like when I saw that second one and sat through that and was like, this isn't funny, and we've seen every single thing already.
They double down on the Zach Galifianakis character in the third one.
Yeah.
It's kind of
he was getting big around then.
Yeah. Yeah, first one is like where he became,
that's what like kind of made him a star.
Yeah. By the third one, it's like, this is the thing.
It is the second one.
Was it?
Yep. I'm almost positive.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, because the first one's in Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
second
fair.
One's in Bangkok.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's
yeah,
fair.
That yeah. one I've completely wiped from memory, so that's probably why. But the third one, I mean, okay, does the main guy get lost? Like,
main guy's lost not every even. So, no, the main guy doesn't even go.
Oh.
Like, he's there.
In the beginning,
I'm
he's like, see you guys.
They might be there for. I'm trying to think. So, the first one is the guy from National Treasure. That's his wedding, and they lose him.
Oh, he's the partner from National Treasure?
Yeah, yeah, he's like the nerdy guy from National Treasure.
Oh, that's funny.
The second one is Ed Helms' wedding, but they lose the same guy again.
Yeah, and it's like...
And then the third one, is it... Oh, no, there's no wedding at all. They're taking Alan to, like, inpatient treatment because he killed that giraffe on the highway.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And then, like, it goes off the rail. I don't know if they lose anybody, but it's like...
Yeah.
They tell Alan, they're like, we'll do this, like, but don't drug us again. That's the one with John Goodman where, like, they have to break into John Goodman's, you know, it's, but
having not seen this movie, it just sounds insane.
The third one is different. And
isn't, like, Ken
Jeong is, like, the bad guy / good guy. He's on the run.
Yeah. He's
and
like,
John Goodman
a
again.
A crime lord now.
Yes. And John Goodman is great as usual.
He's always great.
Ken Jeong was great in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they doubled down on him on the second one, and that was a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm sure my wife's grandparents would love to be a part of this conversation.
In my mind, I would be like, it's a trap.
Yeah.
Well, like subsidizing them to go back.
If it was Vietnam,
if he was going back to North Korea, it would be a trap. But this is South Korea.
Did you check up on all the details? Did you... Just check the fine print and everything.
They, but no, like apparently the South Korean government they're very happy that the U.S. came over and helped them, and they're very supportive. And actually, the program is ending in 2019.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, they're running out of Korean War vets, you know?
That's true.
You know, like, and so they're just like, it's dwindling down.
Also, the U.S. is probably wearing thin on them.
Oh, yeah. But also, like, I'm sure they're just like, your president said some weird stuff.
No, I don't think it was that. Although I would get it. It's just there's not as many people there. And the veterans who are still alive, I mean, like, I think her grandfather's like 85.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that's not an easy trip for them. It's a 14. He flies to Dallas, or they fly to Dallas, and then from there it's a 14-hour flight.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know. It's,
now, do they have some good seating and in-flight movies?
No, I put them in coach. they're I mean, not first class, but they're
not crazy.
Got the extra leg room.
Yeah, that's nice.
They're just, let's be honest, they're just going to read a book on the way there anyway.
Yeah.
He's going to be asleep before takeoff.
They're not going to be watching the movies on there. They're just going to get out their magazine or their book and then, fall asleep.
Sky Mall. Yeah. So, also, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And you can also hit Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to join the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Ding Yan Kuo.
Oh, welcome back.
Yes. Troy Anspaw, Ralph Tribble, Susan Carlson, Travis Tewitt, Brad Hyen, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris James, Griffin Fox Smith, Nick Scott, Brent Smith, Lane LeVanway, Richard Lawson, Jason Weese, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Ron Johnson, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Tom Comiskey. So thank you. If you would like to hear your name in the show, it's very simple. Just share an episode. And don't have your privacy episodes too terribly, or privacy settings.
Or you can set your privacy episodes
too terribly locked down. And then I'll be able to see it. So
and Dan will sing you a song.
Yes. Only on your first time.
Only on your first time.
Yes. And also don't forget, if you want to chip in some money, we will take it at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content.
And I don't censor Joe on that one.
Oh,
yeah, it's game on.
That's exciting
mothers.
For people. So subscribe anyway. So there, I guess that is all that. We will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And wow, the projections were right on the money this weekend. The Nun, number one movie with $45 million. That's what they projected it, right around that. So, geez. You know, I don't see, that's one thing where I don't understand tracking. As much box office research as I do, and I really enjoy looking up all the, you know, money movies make and the budgets and all that, but when it's 2-3 weeks out, they can do these projections with tracking. And then, like, but you don't know who's going to go. I mean, pre-sales is a small chunk, but people decide, you know, let's go see this movie this weekend. I mean, right. How do they get it right on the money?
Well, I think with a horror flick, you kind of, with a franchise like that, and it is a franchise, like, I don't know. It's not exactly like the Marvel stuff. But it's close enough.
But how would you get, I don't understand how you would guess the number though, because it's
like what Annabelle did.
But like, but where are they ultimately pulling the data from other than past
movies?
I'll
look up Annabelle right now and I'll bet you the number's different. You know what I mean? Like, so like, how would you even, I mean, they get it on the nose. Yeah. And,
because it's not as simple as what did Annabelle do? Because you also have to take into consideration time of year, other movies that are coming out around it. Like, there's so many intangibles, which is why sometimes they get it wrong, like Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah. But
is it which number is it, and are they sick of the last one, or is it wearing thin, is there, what's the competition, and then they guess it, and it's like, I get being a couple million off, like, that's great tracking, you know, just if you get it that close, but man, when they get it on the nose or within hundreds of thousands, that's, it's impressive.
It's conspiracy and theories,
they're right more often than they're wrong.
It's amazing how they do that. So yeah, but anyway, The Nun, $45 million, they gotta be happy with that. So $22 million budget, so they're starting to up the budget a little bit on these things, but I mean, they've already made that plus $32 million foreign, so you're already approaching $70 million on a 22 in one weekend.
And it just it's a weird franchise, because you're not furthering the story of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Well, this one though, it kind of fleshes it out.
Yeah, and Annabelle did that. The second Annabelle did that a little bit.
I heard it's very similar. Like, I haven't seen any of them but The Conjuring, but I heard that this, the way it ties it in, is similar to the way the Annabelle does.
Well, the Annabelle one,
and we'll get into it in the next episode.
Yeah, the ending of the second Annabelle more ties into the first Annabelle,
right?
Okay.
Rather than The Conjuring,
because a lot of people were upset with the first Annabelle because they felt like it had kind of nothing to do with The Conjuring,
right.
And so they kind of retconned it.
And made the second one better.
And the second one was better than the first one.
Yeah.
But they kind of were able to retcon the first movie to make it more important.
Gotcha. Because they take the scene that we see in the first one of the first Conjuring and use that in the first Annabelle. And then it never pays off.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So Joe and I, you know, you can go listen to the Patreon exclusive episode, and Joe and I go back, and I actually watched The Conjuring for the first time. I had seen no movies in this series. So you can get my reaction there. You can get us going in depth on that episode. But also we mentioned, I mean, Tom, do you remember when The Conjuring came out? What year that was?
It was 2018. So, I mean, it's been about 7 years, hasn't it?
It's 2013.
5 years.
Okay.
2013, and now is the fifth movie in the series. Like, that's incredible the way they've just whipped out almost one a year.
Well, but it's easy, though, because, I mean,
they're not using the main characters.
Three of them have been side stories that have nothing to do with,
you know? But, I mean, it's become a franchise. In 5 years, five movies, it's like, wow.
While I haven't cared for the side projects too much, I will say that, from a marketing standpoint, it's been very clever the way they've expanded this franchise without needing the core cast members. And now it's just once every couple years they throw you an actual Conjuring movie to keep it alive.
Yeah, they're
smart. The little side characters or whatever the paranormal investigations they're working on, give them an origin story, then do theirs, then do an origin story.
Right.
They've got it down.
There's two in The Conjuring too, and I think the second ghost paranormal thing is also being put into works.
Oh, I mean, based on these numbers and the numbers the last four, I mean, they would have to. Like, this is working for them.
Absolutely.
They'll do it until it doesn't work. There's no doubt about that.
And then they'll do it to direct a video.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, The Nun, $45 million estimated this weekend. So good for it. Number two, Crazy Rich Asians. Wow.
I did not think this was going to be number two. Number one.
Yeah, week four for Crazy Rich Asians, and they just made another $13.5 million. It's a 39% drop. Crazy Rich Asians is up to $136 million domestic, another 22 overseas, so it doesn't have a huge overseas income, at least at this time, but you're over $150 million on a $30 million budget.
I think you might see an uptick next week, because I think next week is Predators, and maybe The Nun probably has a shelf life, has a ceiling, and, you know.
It'll take a big drop. I mean, that's the thing with these horror movies, you know, especially, Joe and I talked about this too. I mean, even if they're successful, there's only so many people that go to horror movies. It's just, you know, you're not getting a four quadrant hit. You're not getting older. You're not getting kids, obviously.
Get Out.
It really has.
But that's still, I mean, yeah. that's the upper echelon.
The first Conjuring.
First Conjuring. Yeah,
I think the first Conjuring broke out of the horror yeah. film ghetto.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, definitely.
It is. You're right, though.
But it's very, very difficult.
Yes. Yeah, it's very difficult. So even if you get a ton of people to see it, it's like, yeah, the people that are excited are waiting yeah. for a good horror movie.
What's the window these days from theater to VOD? Did they release this in a way to where it can hit VOD right as Halloween
hits? I think they can.
So usually now it's 2 to 3 months, or actually it's more like 8 weeks to 3 months. There, and so now that this is September, 8 weeks would put it at Halloween. Yeah.
They also, I don't think they want any, like I said, I've said before, they don't, I don't think any studio wants to touch Halloween.
Yeah, that's, but this could hit VOD like
that's smart.
The week
yeah.
before Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah. And no, then, this yeah. is right in line to come out. I mean, that's how
maybe they even released it a little bit early.
I think the first smart. VOD movie I ever did was the first Conjuring.
Oh, really?
And wow. we got it on Halloween. Crystal hadn't seen it, and that's the kids were at Crazy Pants trick or treating that year.
Oh.
And
picking out razor blades.
It's the that. Well, I mean, if I'm. Yeah, I'm going to use a C word to describe her. I
feel like pants.
Crazy pants.
Yeah, that's
is,
a good. Yeah, yeah.
She hadn't seen it, so that was
that's so good.
The first VOD movie.
So good.
There you go. Hey, don't spoil it. Go to Patreon for
Joe's
opinion.
I can still say it's good. I said it was good on this show.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
never heard of this show.
Well, you know, it's obscure.
That's true.
So Crazy Rich Asians doing quite well. Number,
I heard in China it's called Crazy Rich People.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. Number three, Peppermint, another new release this week. That's Jennifer Garner kicking ass. 12.7 million is let's see if do we have a no, we don't have a budget on
it
that one. So
they can't be happy with that.
I don't know what that movie's expecting though. Is the only thing I didn't see it. Did you end up?
I saw it, yeah.
And?
Do you think they expected much more? I mean, still number three with almost 13 million.
Yeah, I think, do you own a MAGA hat?
A what?
Huh? A MAGA hat.
What's that?
Oh, MAGA, okay. I'm like, MAGA hat? Is that like one of those big cowboy hats?
I was really surprised at just the sheer quantity of Mexicans that she kills.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Really?
Even the, it's a whole
lot. Is the judge
lot.
Mexican?
No, that's okay. Like the only non-Mexican that she doesn't kill.
Is it like a drug cartel thing?
Yeah,
is
that what but it's like they are straight out of Death Wish 3 Central
oh
Cast.
My God.
Oh,
jeez. Like, wait, is that the racist one or is that 4?
I think they're all technically racist
well,
ones.
The first one's not.
But like even the Death Wish movies kind of tried to like throw in some token white people for him to kill. Like this was
like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, like. But this was, man.
Really?
There were
Jennifer Garner, you'd think she would be like, can we change some of this?
Lots of dead Mexicans. Like, I mean, it was like, and like, over face tattoos, yo, essay. Like, I mean, just like.
As stereotypical as we could get.
So did they use the same casting that Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom did for the auction? Remember like the Russian guy with a scar over his eye or that eye patch?
Yeah.
At least that's how I imagine it. It was like straight out of Rocky and Bullwinkle casting.
Right.
I picture them as like, just human versions of Speedy Gonzalez.
I mean, pretty close. Yeah, I mean...
So what, okay, can you give a quick elevator pitch? Because all I've heard is Jennifer Garner kicks ass. Like, what is the premise of this
Sure,
movie?
Okay. Death Wish with a vagina.
Oh. Yeah. So, like, her husband and daughter are
killed by a drug cartel in front of her. And so she goes off in trains that you never get to see.
Is she a normal person?
And she just, they show that she's on, severe... antipsychotic medication, but you see it at like shortly after her family has been killed. So I don't know
she was on
if
it
it's,
for...
but I kind of took it as she had maybe always been on it. And so then she basically comes back as a tough guy,
the Punisher,
and kills.
Well, see,
a bunch
the
of people.
Punisher makes sense, you know, with his background, like that he is like, okay, now I've got the training, I'm going to go
Which
kick
Punisher?
Ass.
That's the thing. Is like the original Punisher is a Vietnam vet.
Well, cop or what. I mean, if as long as you have some kind of training, it's the regular person. Like all of a sudden, let's go to the gun range.
It's
and
not
like
the Liam Neeson where he's just like, I have a certain set of skills.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough, like in the 90s, because he can't make up a Gulf War vet. Right, yeah. Like, I'm gonna use my supply chain management skills to track down the mafia. Right.
Yeah, they had to keep. It's funny, like they never really update his story. Like they just keep making him the same age,
right?
But you're just supposed to assume that, like, okay, so he wasn't in obviously he can't be in Vietnam.
I mean, this one's Afghanistan, right?
The Netflix is Afghanistan.
So
yeah,
at least
yeah.
I mean they have that to line up.
Yeah, thank God we have another war right. for the Punisher to have been in.
All things being said, at least it makes
the
sense.
The stuff that
though.
Garth Ennis does like the best Punisher, and they'll let him write like. Like if the Punisher was living today and was still a Vietnam vet, so he's like an old grizzled man.
Oh,
right.
And I was like, sign me up.
And it was Gran Torino.
It was Gran Torino. Yeah. But he does. Yeah, he did like a story of the Punisher in Vietnam.
He didn't make the Punisher black, did he?
No,
that was weird.
When Captain America was black?
No, there was a time when the Punisher was black. But what? It was still Frank Castle. Like, it didn't, like, they turned him black. Like, they did, like, it wasn't like there was another guy who happened to be black and they made him the Punisher.
There was, I remember when he was the demon hunter Punisher.
Now I'm like, am I making this up?
I think
now
you are making this up. There was a story where Captain America, like, the story is like, do you really think in World War II they were going to test the super soldier
serum
on a white
guy? Oh, the Captain America, the black Captain America storyline.
Great.
Is great.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive. Now I'm to the Googles.
I don't
this
think
is Tom's slash pick.
I'm almost positive. I've read a lot of Punisher.
Well, while you look that up, I will continue to talk about Peppermint. So $12.7 million, no budget on that one. So I don't know what they're expecting, but it didn't
from
look.
CBR.com, the okay. time the Punisher became a black guy.
There you go.
Oh. Yeah. What, does it give you an issue number?
Let's see. Is 91, Mike Baron, along with artist Hugh Haynes and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Palmiotti's a big dude. Big name.
Epic Punisher story called The Final Days, in that the Kingpin hires a young criminal genius to slowly tear down the Punisher. It involves...
So it's Daredevil Born Again?
It involves Frank Castle ending up in prison, where he is brutally attacked by a group of bad guys led by Punisher's enemy, Jigsaw.
Still one of the most brutal origins on that Netflix show is where they smash the guy's face into like glass, and the Punisher just drags his face
Ooh.
Down glass.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. They like, I think I'm scanning this. It sounds like they gave him plastic surgery to hide his
That's
identity.
So weird.
And they made him black.
What?
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I've never read that story in my life.
Yeah.
So. All
okay.
Right.
Well done.
So that's
well done on your end.
I'm
for
glad
remembering that,
and I'm also glad that wasn't something incredibly racist that I made up. Thankfully, it was something incredibly racist that
Marvel
happened.
Comics did.
So that's the upside, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Number four, Searching. So that was the movie from last week.
That movie needs to be doing better.
I agree.
You should go see it.
Yeah, no, definitely. $4.6 million is a 24% drop, though, so it is getting some word of mouth. It's excellent. I saw it, but I wasn't on the episode. I'm glad you guys all liked it, though, and sounds like Joe came around.
I did.
So
yeah.
That's good. It is a really good movie, and I'll tell you what, right now I do want to give a plug for Next Best Picture Podcast. So friends of the show, Matt Neglia and his crew, Matt did an interview with the two editors of the film, one of them from St. Louis, that friend of the show Brad Hyen went to the Esquire and saw the movie with the editor and his friends and family. Didn't know, but he was just there. He came back to St. Louis to watch it premiere with his family. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so James
Gunn does that too. Yeah. Oh, well, he won't have another movie to premiere for a while. Oh, yeah, he's got something coming from Sony.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it'll work out. But anyway, so on the Next Best Picture Podcast, look for the episode. It's one of the last ones with the editors from Searching. And it's fascinating because we talked a little on the Patreon about this, but for people that don't have it, they did the previs, so they actually did a rough computer model of the entire movie before they filmed John Cho, Deborah Messing, anyone, and the director basically stood in and did the John Cho part since he's mainly the main part of the movie. So like the director did all the lines, and then they plugged in his video into the little parts of the computer screen, and then that way the actors could see how he envisioned it and how, because to do a movie like that on right. screen, the actors don't understand how they're being seen by the computer and the devices.
Right.
So they could watch it and see what their angle would look like and their performance. So they filmed their parts, plugged them all in, and then the editors slash animators spent 6 months animating the entire movie. There is not one screen capture on that entire movie. It is animated like a wow. Pixar film.
Hmm.
And it looks like a real computer screen.
Yeah.
100% animated.
Wow.
Can
they put that into best animation?
Their video clips aren't, but I mean, since the whole majority is animated, I would almost think so, but I don't think they'd go for it. But 100% animated computer interfaces. So from a technical perspective and someone who's big on computers, like I watch the movie and I have to find out how they did this because it's flawless, it's fluid, but it looks just like a computer screen.
Right.
I mean, they got Windows XP and they got the Mac, and I mean, it just all looked so good. So anyway, listen to that interview that Next Best Picture did. It is fascinating, and congratulations to someone yeah. from St. Louis. I mean, you know,
sometimes we have
like this.
We have people that make it out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just a word of the wise to that editor: watch what you say on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to say it 9 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Just delete your Twitter now. But
yeah.
I actually looked.
Get rid of it.
I tried to tag him on Twitter and it didn't exist. So maybe he's already
yeah,
taken.
Like,
he's
like, you know what? I'm not going to risk
it. It's like
it.
My career is just starting. I'm, you know, like something happens, I'm not going to be okay. So
right.
Like,
right.
You know, or might not. But anyway, fascinating movie. So yes, go out and see it. It deserves every penny. It's fantastic. So $14.3 million in week three.
If I were a famous director, my Twitter feed would just be like, here's my new movie.
Well, yeah. You have no Twitter followers.
That's fine.
Well, now Rian Johnson tweets at people and deletes them. Like, Rian Johnson's pretty cool on Twitter. Like, I mean, you got to imagine, if there's one guy that's gotten a lot of crap on Twitter
yeah.
lately,
yeah.
it's Rian Johnson. I mean, kudos to the way he handles himself. And he handles it from the perspective of, like, hey, you know, if a movie, as a director, you want people to talk. Like, people are talking and discussing, be it bad or good. Like, my movie's making people think and talk. So he's really cool the way he handles it. But sometimes he has to fire back at people
because right.
they're idiots. It's like, let's be honest. But right. now, like, if he does, every once in a blue moon says something and they'll delete it because he's like,
you
I'm not.
Say, I figure you could return, but give him a retort, but just don't be like, kill yourself.
No,
like, don't say things like
what
that.
About wound yourself.
I feel like that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
cutters, it's very popular with the kids these days.
Yeah. Just yeah. you know, make sure you're going to the hospital, not the morgue.
But even if you delete your tweet, though, back to that, I mean, if somebody's just gonna screen grab
someone's
of it,
going to
yeah.
but it's just it's less likely that people
yeah.
that don't I mean the not maybe even if 100 people screenshot it, like, you still got millions of people that just couldn't
yeah.
find it, you know. And so anyway, it's just people are definitely wising up. So I mean,
are
if
they still doing his trilogy? Is that still a thing that's supposed to happen?
It has not been canceled. That's another rumor that started. They delayed production on something because
yeah.
they're probably trying to figure all this out, but no one's announced that it's canceled. So
okay.
it's still on track just as much as we know anything else is. So anyway, yeah, Searching 14.3. I don't know if that had any... it does. It has 7 million foreign, so it's over $20 million. Undisclosed budget, but so I don't really know.
I think it was like 4.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for that movie. So I hope it does continue to stay strong in the coming weeks. Number 5, The Meg. So the movie from 4 or 5 weeks ago, $4.3 million, a 59% drop. So still making money. People still talking about it. $129 million is the domestic total on that one. Joe, the overseas, any guesses?
401.
Oh, not bad. $348 million.
All right.
So, yeah, $475 million worldwide. So call it $500 million after this weekend. $500 million on The Meg.
That
is mind-blowing. Like,
they timed that
yeah.
perfectly. They marketed that perfectly.
I mean,
that's a masterclass in advertising.
I will say, I mean, just you can go listen to the episode, but it was okay.
It was a big dumb movie.
I would never watch that movie again. And $500 million.
I would probably like
it.
I feel like it's one of those flicks where if it was on, like, I was like, oh, it's on Amazon Prime. Yeah, I'll just throw it on
like,
while I'm doing
but
something.
It was okay, but it wasn't crazy enough for me to be like, this movie is a hoot. Like, I'm going to watch and have a few beers. Like, to me, it was just like, I mean, it was fine, but it, I don't know. It didn't take it far enough to be like, this is ridiculous. I don't know. It just, I'm amazed, but you know, good for them. So we'll see when the Meg 2 comes out. I'm sure they will continue that.
It'll be Meg XXL. That's
right.
Really, yeah.
I mean, there's no way this makes $500 million and doesn't get a sequel, right?
Like, no, it absolutely
some
gets
kind
a
of Meg thing will
that
be coming
thing had,
out.
That thing had a sequel in week one.
Yeah.
When the returns from week one came in, they're like, well, here we go again.
We know how these studios work. Like
Mamma Mia 3.
Yeah. Oh, crossover.
Hey, I would love to see the cast of Mamma Mia eaten by a shark.
Yeah,
just that whole Greek island just gets destroyed by a shark.
I would pay cash money on it.
Yeah. Are they? So that's Universal, and who is the Meg? That's Warner. Darn.
Yeah, Warner. Hey, I'll you know what? I'll give Warner credit. I know we bag on them a lot, but three of the top, what are we at? Five?
You'll have to...
Three of the top five movies of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Our Warner Brother movies.
Yeah, three of the five.
So they can't get their superheroes right, but everything else is okay.
I mean, yeah, Warner Brothers is up there. I mean, you've got Disney, you've got Universal, certainly, and Warner Brothers. I mean, they're always the top. I mean, they know how to make money. They just got to figure out their heroes. Number six, Mission Impossible Fallout in week seven. So that one's still hanging around. 3.9 million this weekend is only a 45% drop. So obviously, people are still having fun, and the word of mouth is strong. 212 million domestic, but overseas 462. So this one's approaching 700 million worldwide on a 178.
That's
money.
Yeah.
It's good for them. And it deserves it. It's a great movie. I'm excited to see that one again. I got the AMC movie pass deal.
Right.
So where
the
it's
horrible name. The A-list.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, I cringe saying
it. Yeah, I know.
I
just call it the AMC.
I'm on the A-list.
Yeah. I know. It's bad. So it's only $10 more a month, but you can see three movies a week instead of three a month. So it's completely worth it, especially because the surcharge on IMAX and 3D is usually that difference. It's usually $8 to $10 more.
Right. Yep.
So with one movie in IMAX, pretty much pays for it. But anyway,
how is MoviePass even still in existence at this point?
Because they limit, they're like, okay, what are you doing next Tuesday at 4:39 a.m.?
Okay, what you're gonna do is meet us by the side door.
Yeah. And one of our MoviePass guys will buy a ticket and hold the door for three people.
Right.
And seriously, the MoviePass thing is ridiculous. It's only really good now if you have it, you're keeping it around probably for art house movies.
Sure.
Because like at our art house theaters, movie tickets are about $10. There's no early $5 show. It's $10 a ticket.
Yeah.
So if you see three a month, that's 30, and movie pass costs 10. So, you know, it works out. But otherwise, yeah, it's
no.
Like this weekend, I'll pull it up by the end of the podcast or something. But they're like, you can see Alpha. You could, like, you can't see The Nun. You can see Alpha. You
Slender
can
Man.
See, yes. Oh, Slender Man. I don't know how that's not a movie. They must have bought the rights to that movie or something. But they give you such a limited, and then they give you these certain show times. It's really a.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset trying to use MoviePass to see The Nun because they. MoviePass had said that you could, and then they were like,
did?
They were like, no, we said how many movies can you see? None.
Yeah, right.
There are none movies that you can see.
Hey, that's pretty accurate. So anyway, I was just pulling it up just to see. So like as of right now, sometimes what they do is trick you. So in at like 6 a.m you check your MoviePass and they get the digital times from all the theaters, so you have every showtime, and you're like, sweet, you go to the theater when the theater opens, and then it's like, yeah, you can see Alpha or whatever. Okay. They finally, so now Sunday, as of 10 a.m., they've added The Nun, and you can see Peppermint.
Okay.
So you've got The Nun as at least right now, but they can turn it off, too.
Right.
If they sell a certain amount of tickets, they just turn it off.
That's nuts.
So get there quick. I know you listening to
this. Honestly, so here in town, obviously, we're in, AMC is probably nationwide.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Marcus hasn't tried to implement something similar.
Like we said, that's a big undertaking. The infrastructure behind it.
I don't know like where they are.
I think that's where MoviePass will go. Is MoviePass
not to the big chains?
Is if
they'll
if
sell it to
they'll sell the infrastructure or a theater chain will acquire it and pull it in and make it their own.
If they're smart, if they can do this and stay afloat long enough, what they'll do is not just sell it one time. They'll sell it as a subscription to the theater.
Right.
So for like, you know, whatever, $10,000 a month or whatever, you can use their platform, they'll brand it your theater name or whatever,
right.
But then they can keep making money from all the chains.
I just wonder if AMC feels that their version is worth it and profitable.
They probably do.
What do you mean?
I mean, do they think it's worth the money? Like, because for $20 you can see, you know,
yeah,
you can see 12 movies a month.
But
like,
they're not making money on the movies. They're making money.
Yeah,
on
I know. But at some point, somebody's got to pay
that's true.
The movie company for the ticket.
But here's the deal, though. So you see, this is the difference, though. MoviePass doesn't own a theater chain. AMC, you only go there. So they only have to give the movie their cut of the ticket. And then they're paying $4 on the $8 or $3 on the $8.
Right.
And then everyone, because this is how I am. Oh, a free movie ticket? Well, I'll buy concessions.
Right.
I mean, because I'm not paying for the movie. So, they've got to be making a boatload. Yeah.
I would think, depending on how many people they have actually signed up.
But also, who sees 3 a week? I mean, that's the 10%.
Sure.
5%
I mean, I have one. I see one.
Yeah.
Like I don't have time to go see it. You know. Yeah. Like
I have one, and because I still have MoviePass, so it overlaps. It's not totally fair because I see a movie a week, but I mean, I see like 2 a month at AMC.
Yeah.
I'm paying 20, so I'm not really.
The problem is I'm where I live is like there's the Marcus and the AMC are basically the same, so it's just a matter of what time I have available.
Sure.
Like it's, you know, I would prefer to go to STL Cinemas if I have my option, because they do cheap movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like those two, like if I mean, honestly, I like Ronnie's more than I like the Esquire. So like if Marcus
I hate the Esquire.
Like it's fine. Like they did a great job on the renovation. Like it is a million times better than getting stuck in the ass with a spring because those seats were so freaking old
and smelling like pee.
It always smelled like someone had vomited urine.
That is true. Yeah. And honestly, Ronnie's was the same way. They just did a nice job of renovating theirs too.
Great job. Yeah. Ronnie's is one of the classiest looking theaters.
It's a good looking theater.
They did a good
job. Like if Marcus did it, I would sign up for Marcus.
Yeah,
I wouldn't a second. I'd rather go to Marcus. Marcus is nice. They took over our local chain here in St. Louis.
Warrenburg chain.
And Marcus is a class act.
Yeah, so I think they gutted everything. They gutted every Warrenburg that there was and gave it like the new seats.
They look great.
They're very nice.
So we'll see what ends up happening there. But at least Mission Impossible is very happy with their return. Number 7, Disney's Christopher Robin with $3.5 million, a 34% drop. So slowly, but people still going to see it in week 6. $92 million domestic on that one. $47 million overseas, so it's about $140 on an undisclosed budget, which I think we said was 70-ish. So
still pretty good.
It's made its money back.
I think it's the P-Dragon of this year.
Especially as slow of a start as it got off to.
That's true.
The fact that it looks like it's probably going to hit $100 million is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could, definitely. But yeah, everyone that's seen it is like, it's cute. I mean, it's just a... It's a quiet movie where I think I mentioned this. I saw it a couple weeks after release, and it was just a good, quiet movie. It's predictable. It's not reinventing the wheel as far as the story goes. It's Hook. It's the same story. But it's cute, and it's sweet, and it's like, you know, happy ending. Spoilers. I don't know what else you'd expect from one of those. But it's like happy ending.
Lying in a pool of his own stuffing.
They set him on fire.
Yeah.
But they learn their lesson.
Welcome to the real world, Pooh.
Yeah. They learn their lesson. The family is stronger, and everybody's happy. It's just a nice, cute, sweet story. So, you know, good for him. I'm glad to see people going to see it. Number 8, Operation Finale. That was the one with Oscar Isaac. It's like a World War II movie.
I think it's after World War II, right? Yeah. But they're hunting a Nazi in Argentina.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So, because didn't like most all the people killed themselves, and they're like hunting one of the remaining generals of Hitler?
Yeah,
or something
Eichmann, I think, one of the big ones. And he's hiding, I believe, in Argentina.
Okay.
And
did they cry for him at all?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, but.
After they saw that Guy Ritchie Madonna movie, they're like, oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, and then Ben Kingsley plays Eichmann.
Did anyone see it?
No.
Okay.
Nobody.
Unfortunately, by the numbers. But anyway, $2.9 million, so 52% drop in week 2. It's up to about $14 million on a $24 million budget. No overseas money at this time. So
huge in Germany.
Not really. Doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Can they even show it?
That's a good question.
Swastika and stuff was banned from public display. I don't know if there
is it really.
I'm pretty sure it was, but I'm not sure.
Why can't they do that here?
Yeah. Well, there's some good people on both sides,
sure,
right?
Yeah, Yeah.
But
get rid of the stars and bars, but that Nazi flag, that's all right.
I don't know if there's an exception for like historical works. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure,
this
sure.
True story talk. So I don't know.
And let's be fair, Joe, I'm pretty sure that like companies can't hang the Nazi flag either. I mean, anyone can carry any flag they want.
Do you know
of
any? I mean, if what Tom is saying is correct, where you can't display it, that is not a rule here in the United States. A company could do
it. No, but you were saying like ban the stars and bars, but I'm like, I don't think that you can hang either. I'm sure that you can't, a business or whatever.
No. I think you can hang whatever flag you. I mean, look. It's not a good idea.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can personally walk around with whatever you want.
No, I mean, a business probably could. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's not against the law.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't, if you're a business and you're just, and I guess it depends on who you're trying to cater to. but otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
I think what Tom's saying in Germany is, like, you can't even, like, it's against the law.
That would make sense. I mean, it's a very sensitive subject and also is going to take their country back. You know, they don't want any connection.
Right. They're
to,
like,
that's
the German Strafgesetzbuch.
Wow. Oh, that was perfect.
And I'm pretty sure I said that in authentic Germanese.
Yeah, definitely was Germanese.
Is a section of their criminal code that outlaws the use of symbols of unconstitutional organizations outside the context of art or science, research or teaching.
So they're saying you could see it in a museum.
Yeah, or if you're making a movie about the Nazis, right, you could use it there. It says the law does not name the individual symbols to be outlawed. But then in German it says wink wink.
Yeah, right. Like, you know the one.
And it says that there is no official exhaustive list. However, the law has primarily been used to outlaw Nazi and communist symbols. The law was adopted during the Cold War and notably affected the Communist Party of Germany, which was banned as unconstitutional in 1956, and by several tiny far-right parties. So that thing I
Germany just blurted out
ended up being true.
Yeah,
there you go. That happens.
Every once in a while. A
couple times this episode. Yeah. Number 9, Alpha, the other movie that you can see on MoviePass, $2.6 million. I mean, still going fairly strong in 4 weeks. It's a 43% drop, $32 million, 32.5.
Kids movie.
Kind of. It made about 20 overseas, so it's at $50 million on a $51 million, so not setting the world ablaze.
Who put that out?
Some guy.
They're just like, whew.
Sony Columbia. I saw it.
Yeah.
It's very slow. It's interesting. I mean, it basically shows how it's like caveman. Not really caveman. It's Norwegian. So it's like
Thor.
Kind of. I mean, it's not like they don't
Thor
look.
Thor and his dog.
Like, they're very light skinned, the quote unquote cavemen. I don't know what you would call them, but it's like a tribe of these guys, and they show every year they go out and they try to hunt bison. So they leave the tribe and the men all go out to hunt, and the leader brings his son, and his son is more of a, like, you know, stay at home kid. He's not quite
animals. I'm going to play on my phone, Dad.
He's like, kill this animal. And the kid's like, I can't do it. You know, it's the,
they're yucky.
Yeah. So he brings the
kind of his feelings, Dad.
So this is the caveman that I'm descended from.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I've always wondered how that happened.
No,
I'm
he's
like,
very pale and white. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he takes him on the hunt, of course, and the kid's reluctant, and the big buffalo bison stampede or whatever they are at that time, mammoth, you know, the
woolly mammoths.
Yeah, they come and charge at him. It's like buffalo, and
I believe they were snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagi.
Yeah.
So he gets injured.
Well, they're snuffleupaguses. They hadn't invented Latin yet.
Oh,
Kevin.
Perfect.
Think
okay.
it through.
Yeah, there it is. So the kid gets injured, and the dad presumes him dead. So the tribe, like, makes a little makeshift burial thing, goes on their way, and the kid wakes up, and he has to, like, find his way back home.
Isn't this
the plot of After Earth?
It's the plot.
Oh God, I don't know. I saw that, unfortunately.
Remember,
one time.
Like, Jaden Smith gets left on the planet, and he's got to find his way back.
That is. Yes. So I was on vacation when that came out.
Oh, you
so
lucky
I missed that one.
Bastard.
Yeah.
So the kid just has to go back home, and eventually a pack of these are wolves find him, and one is injured just like he is, and so they kind of help each other and become friends, and it's a fine, interesting movie.
He doesn't have sex with a wolf, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Well, it's not a Guillermo del Toro movie.
After Shape of Water, it's a fair question. He's not boning the wolf, right?
No,
wait. I want to make sure you're not catching me on a technicality. Is the wolf boning? Is the wolf boning him.
No.
Because either way, it counts.
Yeah. It's a family-friendly movie, but little kids would not be interested. It's a very quiet movie, but it's
so
fun.
So it's no cub porn.
No red rockets in that movie is what you're saying.
None. Actually, no, and there's a very specific reason, but I won't spoil it for you.
You can spoil it for me. It's
no,
fine.
I won't. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. So anyway.
It's not because Ross Throat, is it?
Yeah. 32.5 million. 50 million worldwide out of 51.
Oh, if ever there was a time for a maraca.
Again, Dan's like, I sense something wrong in the Force.
And rounding out the top 10 is Black Klansman. Still,
that's a shame. It's its last week in the top 10.
Yeah, 2.6 million, a 38% drop in 5 weeks, $43.5 million domestic, another 16.9 overseas. So it's around 60 million on a 15 million.
Did we talk about what his highest grossing film is? Did we talk about that before?
Probably Inside
Man.
Probably
Inside Man, since it was a mainstream,
yeah, okay.
I would think. So,
just curious as to like if his movies have.
I will tell you right
ceiling.
Now. So as of now on Box Office Mojo, Inside Man, $88.5 million domestic, $95 overseas. So that's almost $200 million.
Okay.
Number two is Malcolm X, but that's just
$50
always
domestic. Forget that's him. Yeah. I always forget that. I don't know why I think that's Oliver Stone.
No.
I don't know.
I feel like it's like
it's like a quintessential Spike
Lee
movie.
I would think that is probably the Spike Lee movie.
And I'm like, and who else, a director in that at that
yeah,
time
true. Would have pulled that off?
Could have made that movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Dane Cook that did Malcolm X?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
I think that was
Mel Gibson.
But yeah.
That seems more appropriate.
Yeah.
So anyway, Black Klansman, four times its budget. So, I mean, again, didn't set the world ablaze. It's a good movie, too. It would be nice if it would have made.
Why did you say Dane Cook?
Well, because it was just
ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, I was like, did he do a skit about Malcolm X? I'm like, he could have. I don't know.
Anyway, so Black Klansman's good. So if you have a chance to see it while it's in theaters, it's really a good movie.
It is.
What's cool about it is it's not an eat your vegetables type. Like it's you learn about the time, you know, but it's also
like
entertaining.
It's like your vegetables and ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's entertaining.
Deep fried the vegetables.
Ooh. It's entertaining while tackling a serious subject.
Right.
But like the interaction between Denzel Washington Jr. and Adam Driver's.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's
right.
a good relationship. And man, does that guy sound exactly like Denzel Washington. His cadence.
Yeah.
His delivery.
I haven't seen it.
Especially like, when he guaranteed that he would take on the Klan.
But seriously, I have never seen Denzel Washington's son in anything but Black Klansman. But when he talks, I mean, he's got a big beard and an afro. So like, I can't tell the look, but man, when he talks, if you close your eyes, it's like, you would think it's Denzel Washington.
Was he in Hidden Fences? I want to make sure I say that right.
Yeah, that's 100% right, Joe. Yeah.
Right. No, that's Figures. That's what the lady said.
Right.
Wrong.
But did he play his son in Hidden Figures?
His son. He was in Fences.
That's what was. He was in Fences.
Yes. Yes. Fences.
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures was the
astronaut.
Joe just did math. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, Hidden Figures is about math.
Right.
See, and it's working on two levels.
And I see what it is.
These women were hidden.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they were black and women.
Correct.
And they were also working with numbers, which are sometimes referred to as
figures.
And then they were also women who had figures.
I feel like that's some deep stuff right there.
Yeah.
No, he was not the son in that. But anyway, so I was amazed because I'm like, man, this guy's delivery. I guess if you just growing up with Denzel Washington as your father and seeing him in movies, like he talks just like him.
It's funny.
He's good.
There's a podcast I listen to called Your Mom's House with Tom Segura, and they were talking about Dane Cook. Apparently his girlfriend is like 18. And he's...
It sounds right.
Yeah.
And shocking.
They were just like, yeah, he's weird. He's a weird dude.
I mean,
and
would
I was
you,
just like, what? Oh, yeah, Dane Cook was a thing.
Yeah. I mean,
for a minute.
Yeah. Would you ever doubt that guy being 40 or whatever would be dating an 18-year-old?
No.
Like, that's.
Yeah. I mean, he was selling out arenas, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. I saw him.
I wonder what he'd do now. Like, he wouldn't do arenas.
He'd do a pageant.
I wonder if he'd do.
I could do a pageant.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if he could do a theater.
Yeah, probably.
3,000 or 4,000.
Mm, oh, yeah, maybe.
People would still go see him. There's still enough people that would.
Yeah.
Definitely. I saw the tour. Which one was it? It was the one after like his mom or dad had died.
Yeah.
And then he was on tour like right after that. And it
got real dark.
It got real dark.
Yeah.
And it was not, I was like, what happened to the, Harmful of Swallowed and the other one. No? Okay, this is weird.
I will say, so John David Washington, who is Denzel's son, he was in Malcolm X, is his first movie, playing just a student, so just a little cameo role or whatever, or extra role. But he's in Ballers, that show with The Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's where I recognize him from.
Yeah, he's been in a couple other things, but he is in Ballers, so you may have seen him there. And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget our Twitter account, as we often do, at Real Spoilers. And you can also check us out on Patreon if you want to throw some money at us, patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle The Nun. I'm not movie passing you. We're actually going to talk about the movie The Nun. You're not going to download it and have it be 45 minutes of silence. It's going to be the actual movie.
But
that's
we will
my promise.
Tackle The Nun as well.
Yes.
Joe will live on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine.
So there. That's what you have to look forward to until next time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been warned.
If she'll be here, I guarantee you.
Much more, I guarantee it.
I can guarantee you that I will see to it that Harvard does not ignore that.
Because I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now.
Dead. I guarantee it. You are dead.
I can guarantee you peace of mind.
You'll be back in the pool in 24 hours, I guarantee you.
And I guarantee you that the police department, FBI...
Mark my words. Without it, this neighborhood will fall. I guarantee it.
But I can guarantee you this, Coach. I come to win.
I'm gonna find out the truth. I guarantee you that.
I guarantee you won't be lonely.
I can guarantee you peace of mind.
You're gonna do some damage out here, I guarantee you.
It ain't down there, I can guarantee you that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.